dinged up in last night's game? Or are you a weekend warrior that still thinks you got what it takes to play, but nagging injuries are slowing you down?
It's time to talk to some of the region's top sports medicine specialists. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show. All you ever wanted to know about sports medicine, and maybe just a little bit more.
Welcome to the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern alongside my co-host this week, Dr. Eric Pifel. Go to mymosh.com for more information on Dr. Pifel. Eric, how are you today?
I'm well. Thanks for having me, Matt.
Yeah, you bet. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
So before we get into injuries with the NFL, Ohio State Buckeyes. Sorry, man. But they did lose to the defending champions, right? The Clemson Tigers.
And that was a little bit of solace for me, but certainly I'm a fan no matter what. They win, they lose. I still cheer for them. I live and die for them. So there's next year. They started 14 freshmen.
Yeah. That's not good news for us Badger fans. And you know what? And look, I can talk all this smack, but you could say at least we got to the Final Four.
You know, the truth is that was not a great game, and hopefully those young men will learn from it. I think Urban Meyer said this isn't going to happen again, and most likely it won't, but we'll see.
I know as a coach, at least in high school, the best thing that happens to a freshman is they become a sophomore. And when you play kids at that level as a freshman, things by the end of the year and the following year completely slow down.
Yeah, they're going to transition and they'll be fine. And, you know, I think the Big Ten's still going to be very strong next year. Michigan, Wisconsin, Penn State, and Ohio State are all going to be right up there. So it'll be an exciting year. Just kind of a little bit of a down finish here.
You know, I look at Wisconsin and I didn't think that they were going to have the kind of year they had. They had some injuries, but man, they hung in there. That Penn State, that second half of the Penn State game, it still is just a sour taste in my mouth. They just kept throwing the ball up, and Penn State receivers just kept going up and getting it.
Right, and they had a great bowl game, great finish, and they'll be back. They just need to be a little bit more consistent, and we're getting to year three of the Paul Christ era, correct?
Yeah, and I, you know what, what's interesting is he's not a guy that, you know, we've had coaches throughout the years with Wisconsin that you knew were looking. You're going to use this stepping stone and move on. And he, you know, he's a Madison guy.
He's got the Wisconsin temperament. He's very even keeled, and he wants to be here. So I think it looks very bright for Wisconsin football.
Yeah, I agree with that. Hey, let's talk some NFL playoff tomorrow. Packers play tomorrow. We got a couple of games today. Certainly everybody's talking about the Jordy Nelson injury, and that thing looked as painful an injury as you're going to find.
Yeah, you know, certainly anytime you hit a flank when you have your arms extended over your head, the probability of an injury is very high, especially when it's the crown of the helmet. That should have been a penalty. I can see why it wasn't. It was a very bang-bang play, but the receiver is very exposed. The majority of receivers do not wear rib protection because it diminishes their ability to move quickly. It weighs them down. So when they go up and they're exposed like that with the crown of a helmet, ribs are in the way. Potentially get a pneumothorax, where you get air into the lung cavity from a puncture from the ribs. And on the left side, like he was struck, the spleen itself can sometimes get an injury, and that internal organ can bleed. So I was very concerned that he had a splenic injury on top of the rib fractures, but it sounds like it's just ribs, no pneumothorax, no spleen injury. So promising long-term, short-term, I know they keep saying that he's going to play. I think that's a ruse to keep the Cowboys on their toes.
It surprised me a little bit that he spent the night in the hospital, but that would be the reason he spent the night in the hospital, right?
It's observation, the concern about the internal organs, but also the pneumothorax. The rationale is he was hurting, and hurting much more than most people with rib injuries, so it must have been pretty severe. The fact that he stayed overnight, the fact that he stayed down so long really questions whether he'll be ready. I am I think it very unlikely. I hope I'm wrong. He's one tough customer.
Yes,
he's had
a
tough run, but I would be very surprised that if he's out there.
If they continue, if they beat the Cowboys and play next week or in 3 weeks in the Super Bowl, if it is the two fractured ribs that they're, people are speculating, because you don't ever really know, I don't think. Is there a chance that he could be healthy 3 weeks from now?
If it is just rib fractures, if he plays this week, then it's just rib fractures. If he's out, it's either displaced rib fractures or something else. But I think in 2 weeks is more likely. The symptoms that will allow him to play is, can he take deep breaths? Can he take another hit in that area because it puts it at risk? Is he going to be able to tolerate wearing a flak jacket, which he most likely would have to if he's going to play? I think 2 weeks is possible. 3 weeks is probable. Hopefully we're talking about that option.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Hey, let's move on if we can. Ty Montgomery, I guess you got to say he's a running back now, but he went out with, boy, I thought he got really hurt. He got bent almost like a pretzel there for a minute, and his knee, and I thought, okay, he's done. And he came back in the game.
Yeah, it was crazy. I would tell you that he had a knee and an ankle, and if you watch his head, it was spinning like The Exorcist. So I was a bit concerned that he had multiple injuries on that. So I assumed, based on the progress of the game, that he'd be out. I was very surprised for him coming back, but I hope he's all right. It looked like it probably was an MCL sprain and an ankle sprain, and I think he'll be reasonable to play, certainly in a climate-controlled setting as it is in Dallas, much easier than dealing with the turf, even though it's taken care of in Lambeau. But he is an epitome of a team player. This is a young man that says, hey, I want to play whatever you got for me. I'll learn a new position. He goes out there and gives everything he's got. So I'm cheering for him.
Yeah, I am too. And he is a tough kid. You know, to move in and to be a running back and try to go through the holes he's going through. He reminds me, and he hasn't played running back since high school, but the running back from the Steelers, Bell, how patient he is.
Oh, yeah.
And then, boom, when he hits that hole, he's just gone.
Yeah, he gets that ball deep, and he waits for his blocks to develop, and then he's patient, then explodes, just like Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, he is fun to watch. Hey, the Dallas Cowboys, you know, on the reports that I pull for this show, you know, it makes me kind of laugh, because most of the time, if there's somebody from the organization that comments, it's the head coach. So for Blake Martinez, for instance, Packer coach Mike McCarthy said the team got great news on Martinez with his knee, may be able to practice. And then you go to the Dallas Cowboys, and they're talking about DeMarcus Lawrence. According to owner Jerry Jones, Lawrence is back, is feeling better. He's expected to play against the Packers. Tyrone Crawford, defensive tackle. According to owner Jerry Jones, Crawford's shoulder is better, expected to play against the Packers.
Well, the hierarchy in Dallas is a bit different.
Yes.
Certainly, Jerry Jones has built a dynasty there. This year, it is a dynasty, and we'll see what happens. But he certainly has a different interaction with his head coaches. And certainly Jason Garrett has a much different responsibility set than Mike McCarthy.
Yeah, no doubt. Hey, by any chance, were you watching the Pittsburgh Steelers game?
Oh, yes.
I love the Steelers. My second favorite team.
They're my last favorite team.
Well, because you're from Ohio, right? So you wanted them to lose. Sorry. For some reason, for as long as I can remember, the Pittsburgh Steelers always been my second favorite team. I've been to Pittsburgh a couple of times, absolutely fell in love with the city. Thought it was way, way prettier than I thought it would be. And the people from Pittsburgh reminded me a lot of the people from Milwaukee.
It's a hardworking city. It's beautiful. It's got great mountains and the rivers going around it. It's a beautiful city. Unfortunately, the Steelers stink it up.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, so Ben Roethlisberger, he's about my age. I think we played high school basketball or something against each other. But they're up by three or four scores, and late in the game, and he aggravated his foot, did not need to be in the game, and I was a little bit surprised, and I think a lot of people were surprised, that he was in there taking snaps.
It's incredible, and he's a warrior. He's from Ohio, He went to Miami, Ohio, and I believe he grew up in Findlay. But he is a tough guy. So very rarely does he come out. And I would bet that he was suggested to come out, and he said no. And he has enough clout that I think they probably said, okay, just like we discussed earlier this year when he had his meniscus surgery, he was back at 2 weeks. He was probably a large part of that decision process, but this was ridiculous. They're in the playoffs with a game in hand, and he's back passing, and he's scrambling, and he gets injured.
Right.
And not only does he get injured, he is in a walking boot, but he also, on that play, he was coming off and he was holding his shoulder, his throwing arm. So, you know, when it comes to injuries, sometimes coaches have to step in and create some prevention.
You grab his helmet and you say, you know what, young man, sit down. You're done for the day. I think that having to be a coach or a doctor for the Steelers when you have a guy like him has to be almost as frustrating as having a guy that, you know, may have dinged his little toe and he won't go back in.
Right. And, you know, in this situation, the physician has nothing to say. Prevention by not going through the reps is not something we're responsible for. If the coach asks us, is this appropriate time to come out with some of the injuries he's had? We can say yes, but we are never going to go to the coach and say, hey, it's time to take someone out to prevent injury when you really don't have any risk other than the typical risks of football.
Yeah, he is he's an amazing quarterback. And the fact that he's from Ohio, I know you got to be happy with that. But he really is. And it's funny because he's not real fluid, and he's huge. That's a big guy. And he's not afraid to get hit. He sits in that pocket longer than most, and he's tougher than most because he keeps coming back. How do you think Packers are going to do tomorrow? You're feeling good, or I'm a little pretty worried about this.
I think they need three things to occur. I think they need three takeaways and to give away one, so they're going to have to win by two. They're going to have Zeke Elliott have his worst game of the year, so they can't control the clock. And it's just going to take another Hail Mary or something of that variety. So it's going to take things to go perfectly because I think Dallas is that good.
Yeah, I
not
do
that
too.
The Packers are that bad.
And the fact that Zeke Elliott, where did he go to college?
He went to Ohio State. Yes, he did.
Yes, he did. Well, I'll tell you what, if there's one part the Packer defense that I'm pretty confident about, that run defense is good.
Run defense is looking great. Unfortunately, if things get to the second tier, it is piecemeal back there.
Yeah, and you know what? And when he gets it going, he's hard to catch.
Oh, yeah. He has a second gear when he gets outside.
Man, he can run. Hey, let's get to a break. Other side of the break, I love our topic today. We're going to talk about injuries after the new year. So people that you know, come January 1st said, look, I'm going to get in shape. 2017 is the year, and they started and they hit it hard. We're going to talk about common injuries, some of the prevention that can take place, and what you should be thinking about as you're going to the gym. And we'll do that with Dr. Eric Pifel. Again, go to mymosh.com for more information on Dr. Pifel. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome back to the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern alongside my co-host, Dr. Eric Pifel. Go to mymosh.com for more information on not only Dr. Pifel, but from Mosh. And you know, Dr. Pifel, I'm a big believer in what you guys do. My wife, who had knee surgery over by you guys a few weeks ago, is doing great. Dr. Brian did a nice job, and she's ready to go disco dancing again, I think.
We're glad to hear, and you know, we have a big team of physicians and therapists and trainers that make Mosh a very special place. So we're glad to hear because we put our heart and souls into it.
Yeah, and from the first person that we talked to there, and look, I've done this radio show with you guys for a while now, and I understand because I've talked to a lot of people, not only here at Entercom, but people that have called or friends of mine that have experienced the Mosh difference. And when it comes into your own home and you see it, It was incredible. So, again, thank you to you and everybody over at Mosh.
Thank you, and we are very lucky to have such a great team, and we want to keep putting out a great product so our patients can do well.
Hey, I don't know if your patient number has gone up here recently, but after the first of the year, you know, people decide, hey, now is the time to get back in the gym. Now is the time I'm going to start working out again. And I wanted to talk a little bit about some of the common injuries that you guys see. And I want to talk a little bit to people that might be struggling after the first year they decided to get in and start working out again. And my fear is always that when people do that, they jump in the deep end and they go, okay, I'm going to just go at it. I can tell you this, years ago, I hadn't done anything for a long time. And Steve Sparky Pfeiffer here at the station, I said, hey, one day I want to meet that trainer friend of yours, Karina. And he said, let's go right now. And I said, no, one day. He goes, no, let's go right now. And we drove over and I met a woman at the WAC named Karina. And I said, look, I'm too far gone. I'm depressed. I've let myself go so bad. And she said, you know, the body's an unbelievable tool and I can help you. And she said, you need to do three things. You need to trust me because I'm really good at what I do. You need to show up when we have meetings. When we have appointments, you need to show up. And you need to do the things I'm asking you to do. And you need to go hard the time that you're here. And the first time I met with her, Dr. Pfeiffer, I did 5 minutes on the elliptical, and I did 10 wall push-ups, and I was done. And that's where I was. I dropped 85 pounds. If I could drop another 50, I'd feel great. But that's where I started. And I'm now, you know what? I go three times a week, at least three times, where I work out with a trainer really hard. And then I'm on my own doing some other things. But she was right. And she said, look, the body is an unbelievable thing, but you have to, we're going to take a good pace. A lot of people won't go to a personal trainer.
It sounds like you did things the right way. The biggest key is this time of year is that when the calendar turns, people turn a leaf and they say, hey, I'm going to go at this. And some people are reasonable and will do things gradually, but the majority of people set their goals. They set them very high. They set timelines very short and they dive right in. So if you have someone who is fairly sedentary, has a desk job, and suddenly I'm going to be doing CrossFit and try to do the activities they do for competition, they're going to break down unless they're a teenager or early 20-something. When you get to be our age and you start to really do a transition where you're doing high-impact activities, the issue is our bodies aren't ready to just convert. They have to be gradually reintroduced. So we go through this transition at holiday times where our activities go down, our food and drink goes up, our waistline gets a bit bigger, and then we make this resolution. It's not going to go away in two or 3 weeks. And if you act like that, you're going to get injured, but then you're also going to get discouraged because you're going to have pain and you're not going to be able to create some type of perpetuity where you're continually going back and back and back. You're going to give up. So not only do you get injured, you mentally shut down, and then you aren't even getting close to your resolution. So gradual reentry, like you did with the trainer, is the exact example that we want.
Yeah, I wish it was gradual. That's all I could do that day. But here's what, in the research for the show, this was a really good quote that I read. And this guy said, think of working on your body as a third party. If you remove your ego from the situation, you can be realistic about your goals. You'll be able to prevent injuries like some of the ones we're going to talk about. And he also said, don't expect to lose and get in shape in 4 weeks. It didn't take only 4 weeks of not doing anything to put on that weight and get out of shape.
Yeah, the majority of my patients, I tell, if you have had an injury for a month, the probability after surgery that you're going to recover and only take a month is small. It's usually doubled when you're in your 20s and 30s. It's usually quadrupled when you're in your 40s and 50s, and much longer beyond that. The same is with weight gain. Our body, when it gains weight, consolidates it. So if you've been heavy or out of shape for 4 or 5 years, the probability of you getting back in less than that amount of time to where that level was is very small. So you have to anticipate that in order to transition back, you have to put the same amount of time in, if not more, than it took to get where you are when you're trying to meet those goals.
You know, let's talk a little bit about some of the most common injuries and the research that I did. There's one piece that talked about, he starts with the foot and the ankle, and he said when trying to explain foot and ankle injuries, this guy starts at the top of the body. People spend their days in front of their computer and with rounded shoulders. When their shoulders are rounded and you stand up, your weight falls to the front of your foot. And then he talks a little bit about shoes and making sure that you have the right equipment. But he talks about when we sit in front of a computer and then we go from that to the gym and expect, you know, in no time, especially after the first year when we start all these, you know, resolutions, that we're going to be able to just move like we did 10 years ago, it just doesn't happen.
It doesn't make a lot of sense. And some of us, like my job where I'm standing and moving around and I'm in the operating room, the transition is not as hard. But people that have desk jobs, that transition is very difficult. And mechanics and the ergonomics of sitting around all day with hunched shoulders, and then you go to the gym and try to do activities that require appropriate mechanics of the back and the neck and the shoulders and the legs, it's a much different thing to overcome if you've not been used to it. So getting back to the gym when you have a sedentary job should be very gradual, where you're getting back and doing some cardiovascular, doing some stretching or yoga type flexibility activities, and then also do some strength training, but within reason. You know, if you haven't done strength training in 10 years, you shouldn't be throwing some lead around. You should be out there with some body weight or using some bands or some light machines. And there's many ways to transition that are good for you, will give you results, although not instantaneous.
This is the second one they talked about was the knee, and this was funny to me. He said that darn desk job again. Unfortunately, we don't use our hip muscles during the day. Then we decide to go to a kickboxing class or do boot camp. The result in the injury is to the knee. If your feet aren't stable due to improper footwear and your hip muscles aren't strong, the knee gets all the stress. So, until I started doing the show, I never realized that one, you know, causes the other. But again, if you're sitting behind a desk and you go from that to not working out, to then going to kickboxing or boot camp, and you're not ready for that, the hip muscle causes knee problems.
Truthfully, the human machine is wonderful and it's horrible all at the same time. It's wonderful because the mechanics and how we use them when everything's perfect, it's amazing that we even exist. But we do some fantastic things with it. But it's also horrible because if you stop using parts of your body, you start to get poor mechanics by getting out of shape or doing activities at work that aren't part of being an active person. As you try to get back, those things are deconditioned. And if you only try to work out the way you have known in the past, oftentimes you have deficiencies like weak hip abductors on the outside part of the hip, or you may have weak ankles, or you may have poor footwear, or you may have poor mechanics when you're running, things start to break down. And oftentimes it's the joints between the weakness, like he's stating, the knee becoming weak because the foot and the hip are not in the appropriate mechanical configuration.
The last one before we get to a break is he talks about the lower back, and this makes me laugh. He said, look, three strikes and your day job is officially in the doghouse in terms of your physical health. If someone is rounded throughout the day in their upper back and then they go to the gym and do overhead shoulder lift or upper back, that kind of stuff, the upper back cannot extend properly. They straighten and arch upward from the lower back, which has a nervous breakdown, anything from soreness to more permanent injury because it's getting all the stress. And so the lower back is something that people, again, that sit and do, you know, a desk job, and then they're going to go and try to throw some weight around, that could cause some serious problems.
Absolutely. I mean, our core, the strength muscles around the abdomen and the back are very important. They become weak, especially when you're sedentary in a seated position for a long time. So oftentimes, if you have weakness of those parts of your body, secondary issues for your shoulder, for your hips, will come about, if not an injury to the back itself. So focusing on those other than just having an arm day or a leg day at the gym, should also have a core day. You should also have a flexibility day. Should also have a rest day. All these things are part of the process, but oftentimes are lost because we're used to what we did at the gym when we were in our 20s, where we'd go and throw a bunch of weight around on bench press and squats, go run outside, and then we'd be fine. Those are what younger bodies can manage. Now, it's not great for younger bodies, but they bounce back. If you do those things in middle age, things fail, especially the back.
You know, he talks about prevention on some of this, and he says, look, remember to stretch, strengthen your upper back, compensate for all that hunching you do at the office. And he talks about, you know, supersetting in straight-armed wall squats with the rest of your lifting regimen. You sit against the wall, flatten your lower back. And again, I don't know if we think about that part of it. I'll tell you this, I've had lower back like spasms and stuff. Mm-hmm. And if you've never had any back problems, you don't know that it is just, it's bad. You know, just something as simple as tying your shoes or getting to bed, you know, laying in a bed and getting to sleep. If you have back problems, is just a bad thing to have.
Absolutely. And, you know, this is about the resolutions. Some of the goals of people's resolutions shouldn't be, I want to lose 50 pounds. It should be, I want to have pain-free evenings while I'm sleeping, or I want to be able to put on my shoes without grunting. These are very realistic goals when you're beginning to work out when you've had time off, and that's what we're trying to talk about, is set things with a low bar so you can succeed and continue to go to that next bar.
On the other side of the break, we're gonna talk about 10 questions to ask yourself before giving up on your fitness resolutions. And we're going to go to that. The other question I have for you is the difference between being sore and being hurt, because you know what, after you start this up again, you're going to feel some soreness, and you have to understand if you do it correctly, there is soreness, but I don't know if there's such a good,
sore. We can certainly talk about the differentiation between injury and achiness after resuming activities.
And we'll do that on the other side of the break. He is Dr. Eric Pifel. Go to mymosh.com for more information on Dr. Pifel. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome back to the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern alongside my co-host, Dr. Eric Pifel. Go to mymosh.com for more information on Dr. Pifel. So we're talking about people that are getting back into the gym, Dr. Pifel, and one of the issues I think that people have is from being not working out for a while, then trying to jump in, is the how they feel, the soreness and how they're hurting. And now then they decide not to go back.
Oh, yeah. And this is a common problem. And the way I tell my patients is if you're getting back into an activity you've not done for a while, so if you're weightlifting, if you're starting to play racquetball, or you are doing yoga for the first time in your life, your muscles are going to bark at you. And achiness is a typical thing, especially as you get back in middle age. So achiness is normal. If you have pain after activity, you have a little bit of soreness the next day or sometimes 2 days, which is pretty common, that's fine. Things you need to look for that are not typical are swelling. If you have achiness in the lower extremities and you're significantly limping, redness, you have loss of motion of one of your joints, or this achiness persists or intensifies without going back to the gym, that's when you got to consider that maybe you do have an injury. But achiness is very common, and if it resolves with time, a little bit of icing, some anti-inflammatories, then you can feel confident that you're doing the right thing and get back at it.
You're fit. I mean, you look good. You're a fit guy, and we talked about it during the break.
Now.
Yeah, well, you're not good looking. You just look fit. Do you still get sore at all?
I still do. Yeah,
you do.
You know, I took the summer off from playing racquetball, and I've played the last couple weeks, and I'm using muscles that I don't use when I'm doing the elliptical or the bike, or if I'm skiing with my kids. So when you're using muscles that are a little out of the ordinary, you get home, you have some achiness. So I did the same thing. I got home the other night. I go, wow, my shoulder is really sore. And I could have just, being the surgeon, I go, oh, what did I do? Instead, I took some anti-inflammatories, iced it, took a few days off, and now it's gone. And that's the type of achiness that you can anticipate when you have a hiatus from activity or you start something new.
Why is it that sometimes for me, it's that second day that's worse than the first day? And a follow-up question on that, is that a good day to get back into the gym?
I think it's a two-part question. So why is it 2 days? Usually it's 2 days because that first day you have an activity where you use your muscles that are out of whack. They get a little inflammation. As that inflammation builds, it starts to stiffen. And then as it starts to stiffen and get a little bit more inflamed, it becomes painful. So that second day is when the tissue starts to break down a little bit from the injury, the micro injury you had from your activities. As far as when to get back, I think it's reasonable to get back to the gym if you have that second day achiness, knowing that maybe you do something different, working on different muscle groups or doing a different activity. So if you played racquetball, maybe consider doing some flexibility activities. But getting back when you're achy is reasonable as long as it doesn't create pain during that second time.
It seems for me, because I work out with Patrick over at Martin Luther, and we go 3 times a week. And so if I work out on Friday and I'm really sore on Sunday, if I can stretch and just, get on the elliptical and do some other things, that the parts that were really hurting don't hurt anymore.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's in my mind or...
Well, the truth is, does it really matter if it's in your mind or if it's not? You're working out, you're doing something different. But we've talked about this multiple times on the show, that a big part of physical health is cross-training, doing the same thing day in, day out, season after season. Cross-training is very important. So if you get back and you're doing something different, it's probably going to make your achy muscles feel better. But you're also working on other parts of your regimen, including flexibility or cardiovascular. So these are important things, and I'm glad to hear you're getting back even when you're achy.
Yeah, it makes it hard, but I try. And I think the stretching part before and after for me, whether it works, if it's supposed to work, but in my head it works, and that's the key. Hey, really quickly, 10 questions to ask yourself before giving up your fitness resolution. And I thought these were really good, so I wanted to go through a few of them with you. Number one, is your fitness goal realistic? And I think that's important to understand. Before you do this, you have to have a plan. And is the plan realistic? Look, I'm not going to be 150 pounds in 6 months. I'm just not. It can't happen. So if that's my goal in my head, 3 months from now, when I'm nowhere near that, I'm going to give up.
Yeah, you're going to lose. And setting the bar, you don't have to give yourself chip shots, but you should give realistic expectations. So if you're weighing in the 250 range, to say I want to get to 150, that's crazy. I mean, it happens, but that's an outlier. The majority of people are only going to be able to lose a pound or two a week max in a safe fashion. So I think, just like we talk about with recovery from surgery, I think when it comes to fitness goals and resolutions, you got to be about 50% of the process is mental. And if you create an environment which is appropriate and realistic, you'll get there, because you'll say, hey, I've met this goal and now I can set my next bar, instead of saying, boy, I still haven't reached that goal. Maybe this isn't worth it.
You know, when this started for me, I was in to see my primary doctor, and he was going to put me on high blood pressure medication. And my father was on that and he died young, but when he went on it, he never got off it. And my wife, I said to the doctor, give me 6 months. I don't want to take that. Give me 6 months. And he said, I'll give you 6 months, but you're coming back 6 months from today. And if you have not addressed this and taken care of it on your own, I'm going to take care of it for you.
Absolutely. And that's a great goal. I mean, if you can get your body and your weight into a position where you don't need to utilize chemicals to manage your systems, That's awesome. And that's a very realistic goal. You got a half a year to get your weight down and your cardiovascular up so your blood pressure is not bothering you. And if you, especially with a family history, awesome goal.
Dr. Pfeifel, I went back 6 months later, and my wife, who's a nurse, came with me. And they took my blood pressure, and the doctor came in, and he had the piece of paper in his hand, and he got this smile. I said, "What?" He goes, "If you called me before you drove in and said, where do you want my blood pressure to be? Here's the number." And he threw it down, and he said, "Whatever you're doing, keep it up." My wife got this big smile and said, "I told you it was working." And I said, "Really?" He said, "That's exactly where I would want you to be." He said, "You're good." He said, "I want you to lose weight. You got to lose some more weight, so keep working. But, man, your blood pressure is exactly where I would want it." So in case, you know, I thought it wasn't working, it was definitely working. Number two, are you finding you time? Are you finding time that you know, if you've got two kids like you do, and you've got a job that keeps you extremely busy, can you still find you time?
Yeah, I mean, we all think we're busy until we meet someone else that has an even crazier schedule. The truth is, there are 24 hours in a day. The majority of us sleep somewhere between 8, 7 or 9 hours, depending on your schedule. I usually sleep about 7 hours. So if you think about that, there's still 17 hours in the day. All right. Even on my worst days, I only work about 12 to 13 hours. Okay. So we still have 4 hours left. Put in mealtime, you still have an hour. So on your worst day, you still have an hour of time. So you can use that to be with your family. Okay. A lot of families work out together. My family works out together. So if you have a tough day where you need to mentally release, meaning get some stress off by pumping some iron, doing some running, do something with your family if you only have an hour.
Do you, are you a morning workout guy, a night workout guy?
Morning is my time.
It is.
I wake up at 5 every day, and some days I go to work, and some days I get ready to do my workouts. But morning, I'm much better, which is good for my patients because that's when my surgeries are. But at nighttime, I can. It just takes a lot more coffee.
That's awesome. Hey, a couple of other quick ones before we get to a break. Do you hate your class, and do you need to mix it up? I know a lot of people that stop working out because they think they're going to take this great class. They get there and hate it and decide, I'm not going to do this anymore. And then we talk a lot about mixing it up, how important that is.
Yeah, you know, I think having cross-training is important both for your soft tissues and your bones to get better and not break down, but also for your psyche. I mean, doing the same thing over and over again, there are runners that all they like to do is run, and some people can do that. I can't. I hate that. So I change my workout schedule. So it's one day I'll do flexibility, and one day I'll do body strength, and then I'll do the treadmill or the bike or the elliptical, or I'll play racquetball. And that keeps things fresh. The other thing I would suggest is find something, if you're going to do cardiovascular, to do during it. Find something that is pleasing. So when I'm on the treadmill or I am on the elliptical, I listen to books on tape, or I listen to new music, or if I'm in my own house, I'll binge watch a Netflix show. I mean, these are things that you can do simultaneously and keep it fresh.
And keep your mind off what you're doing.
Absolutely. It goes fast.
It does. Let's get to a break. We'll continue our conversation with Dr. Eric Pfeifel. Go to mymosh.com for more information on Dr. Eric. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome back to the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Mike McGivern alongside my co-host, Dr. Eric Pfeifel. Go to mymosh.com for more information. Dr. Pfeifel, we've got a short segment, so I'm going to get a couple more of these. When they talk about hating your class, as I said, there's people here at Entercom that talk about that a lot. And if they're listening to the show, I'm going to hear about it on Monday. Another one where we talk about why people are quitting working out, and 10 questions that you need to ask yourself before is, do you have your eye on the prize? And is getting a workout buddy something that might help you? So let's start with, do you have your eye on the prize? It depends, I guess, where their mindset is. And we talked about this earlier in the show, what the prize is for each person.
Yeah, you know, I think if your prize is to look like an Adonis, you're doing that for someone else. Most people, that is not the important aspect. If your goal is to feel more fit, get less fatigued, increase your strength, those are more realistic goals that you're going to keep. If it's for someone else, it's probably not going to work because you're going to give up on that. So make your goals for yourself. That's a good way to do that.
You know, the idea of having a workout buddy, Sally, a woman that I work with, comes with me a lot. And she will head over there and work out, and she's really fit. And I used to be a little intimidated by that because she's strong and she will work out really hard, but that pushes me.
Well, the truth is, if you have two people that have to say no, the probability you're going to go is much higher, because if two people say no on the same day, you may not go. But if you push each other, the probability you're going to continue with your goals is a great way to do it. Even if you're not doing it simultaneously, or you're connecting with someone by phone or email or an old college buddy, if you set goals and you interact with people, that's a great way to maintain. You're still doing it for yourself, but you have someone else pushing you.
I told you earlier in the show about Karina, who was that for the first woman that I am. This is how foolish I am, Dr. Pfeifel. We got done with the workout and it was hard, but I wasn't going to show that to her. And she goes, "You all right?" I said, "Yeah." She goes, "Really?" I said, "Can I be honest with you?" And she goes, "Yeah." I said, "Look, you're my warm-up trainer. I'm going over to the Y to meet with my real trainer right now." And she said, "Really?" And I said, "Yeah." She goes, "I'll see you on Tuesday." Well, from the WAC in West Dallas, I drove across street to the Sam's parking lot and threw up in the parking lot because I didn't want anybody at the WAC to know I threw up. And I came back Tuesday, and she was like, "Okay. So I want you to be a little tired for your YMCA trainer, so we're going to get after it today." I said, "You know, I was just kidding." She said, "No, I didn't." And that was the worst workout ever. Man, she had me doing stuff, and she put me through heck. And she said, "How do you feel now?" And I said, I'm done. I'm spent. But I always talk a lot of smack.
Yeah. Well, the truth is, I think if you're honest with yourself and the people with you, you'll do well. A little bit of jive on each other is a reasonable thing and a good way to get you motivated, but sometimes you barf.
One of my favorite ones, she played college soccer at Auburn, big-time athlete. And I walked in, and I just wasn't really feeling it that morning. And I said, "Hey, I got an idea. Like, can I run the workout today?" She goes, "No." I said, "All I would do is get two racquetball rackets and a ball." And she said, "You don't want any part of that." I said, "No, I think I do." She said, "I'm telling you, you don't want any part of that." I said, come on, bring it. And I whooped her. And she could run all day, as we had right. that conversation during the break. I beat her pretty good. And we played three games, and she wasn't close on any of them. And she said, "We are not doing this again." I said, "Nah, this is a great workout for you." I said, I better go to the elliptical now." So it was fun. Hey, look, all I can say is if you have started and you have some questions about soreness or you've been injured, you know, as you start to do this after the first of the year, mymosh.com, Dr. Eric Pfeifel, he will certainly answer questions. If you need to get in and see him, you can look him up again at mymosh.com, set up an appointment, get in and see him, and he will help you through this. It's good to see you. I hope we're talking in a few weeks that Jordy's back and they're playing in the Super Bowl.
Fingers crossed. Everyone keep your resolutions, set your goals realistically, and go Pack.
Yeah, that's the key, right? That is the key. You got to make sure that you have your eye on the correct prize. Doctor, it's good to see you.
Good to see you. Thanks for having me. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you as well. Thanks for listening. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.